Local News, Culture, and NPR.
From Radio Catskills Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole, here with you on the last major holiday of the summer season, the unofficial end of the summer season in 2025. So I hope you had a great holiday weekend. Hope you stayed safe. And if you're traveling tonight or tomorrow, safe travels. And thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Coming up on this Labor Day, I'm taking you back to a place where I did a lot of radio work this summer. Good radio work, I hope. Bethel Woods Center for the Arts and the Museum at Bethel Woods. On the site of the original 1969 Woodstock Music and Arts Fair and Aquarian Exposition, I was at Bethel Woods last week for the Neil Young Show. So was Reverend Billy, the opening act. I spoke with him while we were both there, and that full interview is coming up in just a few minutes. Plus, we'll revisit the story of one local resident who took a truckload of fruit to the Woodstock Festival 56 years ago and had quite an adventure. But first up, we've got the latest news from Albany. That's where New York officials are considering new rules about how juvenile offenders get parole. WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind has more.
Parole decisions for people sentenced up to life in prison are based on whether they'll reoffend and the severity of the charge. New proposed rules would have the parole board consider more factors for juvenile offenders. They include immaturity, brain development, and personal hardship. State Senator Rob Rollison was a police officer in Poughkeepsie. He and other Republicans say the proposed rules tip the balance in favor of criminals.
Folks who are out doing bad things need to understand that you're going to be held accountable and you're going to serve a sentence.
The state says the rules are in response to a federal lawsuit. Supporters say it's cruel and unconstitutional to keep juvenile offenders locked up. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
In other state news, SUNY universities and community colleges will be balloonless this school year. As WXXI's education reporter Noel Evans tells us, the state university system is putting into full effect a ban on single-use balloons for celebrations and events.
We know that these balloons can end up in our water. They can hurt animals.
That's Ginny Geermantry. She's the executive director of Monroe Community College Association. The association manages aspects of student life at MCC, like housing, vending, childcare, and dining. Geermantry worked with SUNY's sustainability vice chancellor on how to implement the no single-use balloons policy on campuses.
We use reusable balloons, and disposable balloons, and that we're using signs and flags and inflatable arches versus like balloon arches, all to reduce our plastic.
She says that shift has been visible at commencement ceremonies more than anywhere else for the local community college.
We also use ferns, which are natural green ferns along the front of the stage and can be used multiple times. And of course, some flowers, which are biodegradable.
There are exceptions to the rule. For instance, if a plastic balloon is needed for medical research or something similar, that's allowed. SUNY's prohibition on single-use balloons is part of a larger effort toward more sustainable practices on campuses that reduce plastic waste. In Rochester, I'm Noelle Evans for the New York Public News Network.
And thank you to the New York Public News Network for those reports. Well, this time last week, I was on site at nearby Bethel Woods for the Neil Young and Chrome Hearts Love Earth Tour, and I was representing Radio Catskill in the Love Earth Village. This is a place for local organizations that do good work in the community to share that work with attendees at the concert. Radio Catskill shared a table there with our friends from Catskill Mountain Keeper. Big shout out to Ramsey, Taylor, and Ananda. It was great seeing them. And if you're one of the folks who stopped by that table at that show and said hi last week, big thanks to you, too. It was great seeing you. Well, this is something, this Love Earth Village is something that Neil Young sets up at all of his shows. And apparently he's been doing this for a while. The main organizer who put this together for the Neil Young team said this Bethel Woodstop was the 125th Love Earth Village that he had put together. So this has clearly spanned multiple tours over the years.
Anyway, all this is just to say that those of us in the Love Earth Village were there at the express invitation of Neil Young and his team, and so was Reverend Billy, a.k.a. William Talon, longtime anti-consumerism performance artist and activist. He and his Stop Shopping Gospel Choir were Neil's opening act. Here's our full conversation, recorded just before his performance last week.
Earthaluyah, glad to be here with Neil and the Crumhearts and the Stop Shopping Choir and all of you.
You're opening up for Neil Young. Like, what are you trying to do as an opening act for Neil Young?
Well, this is our 26th show, opening for Neil and three different bands, although some of the musicians are in all three. We are living in and working on the theme Love Earth with Neil. I'm the religion editor of his newspaper, The Times Contrarian, and so I have a pen pal relationship with Neil, discussing the theme of our half hour. He drops us in front of 15 or 20,000 people for a half hour. We introduce the theme, and it impacts the evening, as the village. You know, the village is our compatriot. We're sitting in the village now.
Yeah, and we're lucky. We here at Radio Catskill have been invited to be part of this. You know, like one of the themes of the village is like news you can trust. Another theme is keep it local, and we're local, and we're doing that work. They've got focuses on environmentalism, on social justice. I'm like, these are all great ideas, and this is a heck of a place for it because this is where the original Woodstock Festival took place too. But a lot of people come into concerts now. They aren't necessarily looking to encounter such big ideas. Like, are you able to get these ideas across to folks when they come out?
Well, right away at the beginning of our half hour, we establish, don't we all feel this way? We have to stop watching and waiting and start moving. And this edge of the revolution, whatever this revolution is, but it's certainly about the earth. It's certainly about the freedom to speak up. It's about the freedom not to get bombed. It's all one evil, and we have to meet it now. We have serious things to say to people, to challenge people, but then we have wonderful music. So the music relieves people of Reverend Billy, keeps us going.
And are these folks from your regular gospel choir? Like, what do you have? What type of music do you have, and who's helping you out?
Earth gospel has elements of jazz, some gospel. We have one of our key performers is Josh Kawan Nelson of Newark, who is the organist at two Baptist churches in that city. And so we have that coming in one door, and we have lefty anarchism coming in the other door. There's Sun Ra on the one hand, and there's good gospel on the other. So, but we're not Christians. We're not Hindi. We're not Islamic. We're not Jehovah. We're not, you know, we're lapsed everything. And most of us are struggling against our grandparents' fundamentalism. But there is a new post-religion spirit emerging. We have to be in touch with the earth right now. We have to adopt, you know, Talk to the Trees is the name of Neil's tour album, and we urge people to talk to trees. We know there's a new kind of magic waiting for us.
Well, and that's another great reason to be here, because this is Bethel Woods. They put a lot of effort into the trees here. You have the trappings of evangelicalism in the religious sense, but you're not evangelical in the religious sense, but it still seems like you've got the evangelical spirit for the things that you believe in.
Well, that's a tradition in the United States that we should be aware of, the traveling preaching shows with the music and the food and the so we are in that we're aware of how Americans make their meaning is Bible stories and small, to the point, cliffhanger moral tales. We're not French philosophers necessarily. Maybe you are, but I don't mean to insult you. I know you've got a great education. But I didn't. So I was. I I went to school right over here in Franconia, up the way. So I just remember walking in the woods a lot when I was in school.
You're seeing what people are like in this moment. You're telling, like, hey, listen, we need to make a change. We could see how things are, so we're going to have to change together. What are you seeing in the people? Are people ready to make a change? Are there people that are ready for something different? Are there people that are even aware of what that might take?
Well, it sounds like you're on the edge of going over to the information analysis, which we don't do.
Okay.
When you say aware, I'm going to take that word the other way,
okay,
which is in the spirit direction. We all have love. We're carrying the strongest force that the earth gives us. We have that love. Love is radical. Love makes the big change. Love was given to us by the earth to make life. That's why it's the strongest force. It makes life. Love makes life. And so we've learned from our efforts at defending the earth in other ways. We've learned that data doesn't work. You know, the information, litigation doesn't work. Lobbying, all the L words, legislation, that's been wiped out by one strongman. And that's basically what started with Earth Day in the 70s. You know, we have to find a new way, a new approach. And I think it's the ancient approach. I think it's the approach that was always there with Earth cultures.
So there's so many people trying to hold on to institutions, trying to hold on to norms, and there's been so much disruption going on. And it sounds like you're sidestepping all of that. You're saying, you know, what we need is the things that go underneath the institutions. You need that foundation. Well, the other L word that's left is love.
I'm making an analysis that is radical. The major institutions that we have in the United States, none of them believe really in climate change. They have defensive postures, you know, with marketing and lawyers and so forth and so on. They maneuver around. And now with Trump, they've all abandoned their commitments, especially the big banks, JP Morgan Chase and Citibank. They've just walked away. BlackRock, they've walked away from their commitments. They walked away from the Paris Climate Agreement. So the major institutions, I'm talking about religion and military, just march through them all and recite them to yourself. Did they ever really believe in it? You know, what did they really do with their workers? Not enough. Not enough. It was all marketing. It was graphics and websites and a little bit of green, a little bit of green here and there. You know, so let's be realistic. We're in trouble right now. I mean, we can't wait till the dates the corporations gave us, 2050, 2030, all these dates. We can't be as moderate as the New York Times. We can't. We can't afford to be gradualists at this point. So we're on the wave of radicalism, and that is the wave of social change. That's why we love Neil. He seemed to surf through a number of cultural revolutions in our, you know, starting in 63, 64, 65, when he came down from Ontario to L.A., and just on and on and on he went. And he went to the punks. He went to the disco. He moved around. And they all invited him. Come on in, Neil.
Yeah.
And so his music reflects that. But he's fronting with political songs right now. We were just a few miles away from Kent, Ohio, just recently, and he started singing "Four Dead from Ohio," and 15,000 people just stood up as one and just stood there silently. It was like the king encountering Messiah. You know, I believe, I just stared at them and tried to figure it out. I believe they were just struggling through the memories of what they had to struggle through with four children being gunned down by soldiers, by basically a lot of other children. You know, I mean, the soldiers were young too. They had to work through that in Ohio, and nobody spent a day in jail. You know, we've seen that before. And so it's time. It's time to be radical now. It's time to let ourselves be shocked, let ourselves have feelings that we didn't expect to have. And we have been consumers for a long time. So we have to give ourselves a break. We've been watching and waiting, and change has happened to us by the extremely forceful nature of this culture, which is neoliberal capitalism. We've been watching. We're surrounded by screens. We're surrounded by saturation advertising. We're surrounded by pixels. We're surrounded by AI. These are strong forces that anticipate our thoughts and how we make our own desire, how we live our lives. And we have to say no to a lot to make a move now. We can't wait for, a show to come to us from NPR. We have to move.
And what I'm hearing you say, the realization I'm coming to is not, you're just saying we need to move away from that consumerist culture because all the negative things about the consumerist culture, but because of all the positive things it replaces, all the positive things that we aren't doing when we sit back and just watch and just let things happen.
Well, we've let our decision making become flaccid because we've been dedicated to passivity as consumers. And now people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, we've got people in that age group right around here, including me. We didn't expect to have to make basic change at this point in our lives. A lot of us had this idea of the arc of living that we can't emulate that. We can't do that anymore. Precisely because we have had life simulated for us, produced for us, and sold back to us. And now we have to look at each other and say, none of that really applies right now. The earth is telling us with a fire and flood. The earth is telling us with it's going through the roof, the temperatures. The earth is telling us, no, basic change is taking place. And it must take place. And you can join us if you want to. We just were privileged to interview Leonard Peltier for an hour just recently on our Earth Riot Radio to plug our radio show, which I hope is on your station soon. And Leonard said, no, those are communications from the Earth. The Mother Earth is talking to us. That's the kind of thing Neil is saying when he says, talk to the trees. Now, that's something that a lot of leftists don't accept. They would just as soon make it a hippie joke or some comment about tree hugging. No. The Earth is alive. The Earth is intelligent. The Earth has love in it. The Earth gives us love in order to live life. And living life means changing. Somebody give me a change-a-looia. I think I got to go now.
I think you got to go now. Thank you so much.
Change. Thank you. Bless you, everybody.
Trevor and Billy talking to me right around this time last Monday evening at the Neil Young and the Chrome Hearts Love Earth Tour Stop at Bethel Woods. Now, I do have to report to you, even if anecdotally, that not everyone was into Reverend Billy's performance at that show. I think even folks who are sympathetic to his cause may have been thrown for a bit of a loop by seeing an evangelical-style preacher in the midst of what they thought was a musical concert, a rock concert. One attendee actually came up to me afterwards and said, "What the heck was that?" but used much stronger language. Another told me that they heard some booing in the audience. And I overheard multiple folks as we were walking to our cars after the show. They were half puzzling, half complaining about Reverend Billy's performance. And I'm just telling you all of this to kind of underscore the challenge that the Stop Shopping Gospel Choir is taking on every night at these shows, the passion that they bring to it that allows them to take on that challenge, and the importance of the issues that fuel that passion, as you just heard in the interview. But one attendee, one of our volunteer DJs here at Radio Catskill, reported to me that the portion of the gospel choir was great. The music portion was fantastic. The preaching, maybe not as much so, but their take was, quote, "Reverend Billy is there to take the heat off of Neil." So that was meaning, in their opinion, that, Neil Young essentially probably is bringing Reverend Billy on to share some of these passionate views that they have on these issues in a way that will then allow Neil Young to come out and do his show without commenting too much on the politics and the policies of the moment. But I will say there was still some of that in Neil's music and some of the things he said between shows. In fact, between songs. In fact, before they did Ohio, Neil said, "Sometimes I forget what year it actually is." And that was pretty heavy. That was pretty heavy. But a great performance all the way around. So there you go. That's how it was last week at Bethel Woods. There is more to come here on the Local Edition. We're actually going to go back to Bethel Woods, but way back before it was Bethel Woods, with a story from someone who was there for the original Woodstock Festival. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
the Democratic Party has basically identified itself as the party of the working class. And at the same time, the party has banked on a more diverse America was going to be a more democratic America. And both of those things are no longer necessarily true.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
Congress has approved a White House request to eliminate federal funding for public media. NPR and this station remain committed to informing the public, increasing your understanding of the world, and enriching everyday life. But without federal funding, we are relying on your support now more than ever. Please make your gift to this station today. Here's how, and thank you.
Give now at wjffradio.org.
It's a local edition. I'm Jason Dole. We're going back to the garden one last time this summer for this holiday edition of the local edition with a story from Sullivan County resident Dio Santiago. He attended the original 1969 Woodstock Music and Arts Fair in Bethel, New York, not necessarily for a love of rock and roll, not necessarily in the spirit of activism, but very much so in the spirit of entrepreneurism and out of a little bit of curiosity. He sold most of a truckload of goods and gave some of it away and made a lot of memories that lasted a lifetime.
I am Dios Santiago. I have a studio in Monticello, New York. I'm a coach and a trainer. A friend of mine had a giant truck, and we filled it with fruit, and we brought it because it was, by that time, the food was scarce. There was no food. He owned the truck. And he wanted to be in the site, but I was working. I'm a working guy. So he came looking for me, and then that was already Thursday night. The first night that we tried to get in, we only got down to Route 17, just past White Lake. That's about it. That's as far. We could not go any further. And then all of a sudden, the guy in front of me with a Chevy, and he pulled into the field. And he put up a sign, which he made up with a marker. He made his own sign right there. It says, parking, $5. He just pulled the truck right into the field, and he put up a piece of cardboard that said, parking, $5. And right away, the entire line of cars pulled into, and he filled this lot. I don't know how many cars, maybe 500 cars. And I was watching. I said to my friend Desmond, I said, do you see that? We are not real businessmen. This is what we should have done.
It wasn't even his property, right?
No, he just pulled it. So that's American entrepreneurial ideas at work immediately. When you have the freedom to do things like that, you can make money. And actually, and it was semi-legal because the people needed a place to put the cars. So he helped them out.
Yeah.
He helped the cars. By giving them a space to park. So that was the problem. We filled it up with the fruit in Liberty. The Liberty, they had a wholesale, fruit wholesale in Liberty. And then we couldn't get in. There was no way to get to the site after the site got started. But I am an old fisherman here in Sullivan County, so I know some of the back roads. So we actually were able to get to Liberty first. Then we came to Jeffersonville. And then from Jeffersonville, I knew that there was a couple of cow paths into the back where the ponds were. And it had been used, and it kept open by the ambulance system because that's the only way they could get in and out. I was sitting in the front of the truck while he was driving the truck because you could not see either side. So we went right by the ponds are. Right there with the ponds and the naked people there, all full of mud. And that took us right to where the helicopter and the ambulance site was located. And directly across from that, I found a space. So I said to him, pull right in there because there was no place to put the truck. So we actually found a little, just enough space for the truck. But when I got off the truck, jump out, and I went to the back. It was 500 people right behind it. And they were following us all the way from the pond. And I opened the tailgate. We opened the gates. And the interesting thing that I like to tell people is that all these people, all these young people that were there, collegiates and otherwise, everybody had $20 bills. They had plenty of money, and I didn't have any change. So I just said to them, on that empty box over there, just throw the money and take as much food as you need. And then we were selling, we weren't scamming anybody. We were selling everything like two for half a dollar, two for a quarter. But there were people selling a slice of bread with a slice of ham inside for a dollar, $2. You know, in those days, it's in 1969, that was a lot of money. And there were apples and pears and all kinds of fruit. And about 6 hours later, we ran out of the fruit. That was it. That's the end of the story.
That's how long a truckload of fruit lasted on the early end of Woodstock.
About 6 hours, right. And then we were stuck there because we couldn't get out. We had to stay there. Then we enjoyed the show.
Do you remember any?
And well, yeah, a lot of naked women coming around said, "You have anything left?" So that's another story.
Looking at the world through the sunset in your eyes, traveling the train through clear Moroccan skies. Ducks and pigs and chickens call, animal carpet wall to wall. American ladies 5 foot tall and blue.
The pig farm, I gotta tell this. The pig farm.
The hog farmers?
Yeah, they did a tremendous job at the site. Feeding people. They also treated many of the overdose, because the drugs, of course, were just flowing. And the ambulance people could not keep up with them. That was right across from where we were parked. They were overwhelmed. So I got to give a lot of credit to the pig farm. They came all the way from Texas, I believe, New Mexico and Texas. And they built a small village. People didn't see it because it was kind of like in the woods. They built a small village with lights and barbecues.
You were there? You saw the hog farm?
Yeah, we were all there. We were all helping. You know, I donated a big box of plums, as a matter of fact, because a guy with a big Western hat came over, big giant guy, and says, "I'm liberating the plums for the pig's farm." So I had a big machete sitting on the side of the truck there on the wall, and I looked at it, and I looked at him. I said, "It's okay. We're going to be there later, and we're going to donate some. But right now, we're doing selling." So I later on, when we were running out of the stuff, we took a little break, and I took a case of the plums. And they were feeding people and places where they could lay down and overcome the overdoses. It was an event. It was a human event. And the area here should be proud that we were participants in that. And we provided that event. And the fact is that there were no major tragedies. There were no any kind of evil event. Everybody was very happy.
All aboard the train. All aboard.
Sullivan County resident Dio Santiago speaking to me around the time of the 50th anniversary of Woodstock in 2019. I'm Jason Dole, and that's it for the local edition. Before I go, I got to say thank you so much to everybody that came out to all of our events this weekend. It was so much fun. We had the mini golf up in Bovina, our music yard sale right here at the station on Saturday, and then yesterday we had the Pints for Public Radio. Thank you to everybody that came out and bought some pints and supported public radio. Thank you so much for being here with me on this Labor Day. I will be taking tomorrow off, and we have the Kingfisher Project, Information Against Addiction, addressing the opioid crisis in our region and across the country, with your host Bill Williams. Be listening for that tomorrow night. For now, we've got more news on the way from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
I- I'm Donna Fellenberg, host of Catskill Character. Join us Saturdays at 10:30 for stories from fascinating characters of the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, right here on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.